Some of Cincinnati's business and political leaders have a big item on their downtown development wish list, a new state-of-the-art arena. This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. A recent study identified the top two locations for a new arena. Joining me now to talk about that study, what a new arena would mean for Cincinnati's future, and who would pay for it, our Nederlander Company Chief Operating Officer, Ray Harris. Thanks for being here, Ray.
Thank you for having me.
And Cincinnati Business Courier staff writer and columnist, Chris Wetterich. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Lucy.
The Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber, which released this study, had agreed to join today's discussion, but on Thursday had a scheduling conflict. We also invited elected leaders who either declined or had scheduling conflicts themselves. Chris, what are the arguments related to what Cincinnati is missing out on without this new state-of-the-art arena?
Well, some of the arguments are is that we're, you know, we just don't have the ability to host large national events like a national political convention, which is a once in a lifetime thing, and also NCAA men's basketball tournament games, and so other events that would get nationwide attention. The argument also is that we're missing out on some bigger concerts, some bigger names, I think. It's not like we don't have concerts at Heritage Bank Arena, but they believe we could have better concerts at a new arena. So all of that, they believe, would make an impact and add to the vibrancy to downtown and over the Rhine and the region in general if we had a new arena is kind of the argument.
Ray, the Chamber commissioned this study. Based on the findings, are you convinced that Cincinnati needs a new arena?
Oh, I think it would be very beneficial for the city to have a new arena. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There are a number of events, in larger events, not just in concerts and in political events, in men's regional basketball. You can do larger events combined with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, attract, lots of convention space that you can utilize the arena for as well.
Mm-hmm. So you feel like there are lots of other things that the city could attract that just Heritage Bank Center can't accommodate right now?
Correct.
Okay. Well, let's get into where a new arena could be built. Chris, walk us through the sites this study says could work best.
They're not really ranked, but one of the sites is the building in which we are sitting in right now, the WCET Town Center Garage site. The Town Center Garage, as we all know, is kind of a dilapidated, declining garage. I don't think the third floor even operates. So it's something the city has been looking to tear down for a while. They have a survey out right now about this site and what to do with it. WCET has its building here. It owns its building. It owns the air rights above the building. Last week, both John Kieswetter and I talked with the CEO of WCET, and they said they're not looking to move. They have no intention of moving, and the cost to do that would be $50 million. And so that was a significant piece of information that wasn't really included in the study.
And CET is not looking to pay that cost themselves, it doesn't sound like.
I don't have the direct quote from Kitty Lensman, the CEO of WCET, but basically if somebody wants to, open up their wallet and pay $50 million, they would certainly look at moving, but their position is, no, we're not using our own money to do that. So that's one site. Another site is west of the Convention Center downtown, which would be on land that does not currently exist. There's a highway there. So as the Brent Spence Bridge project proceeds over the next decade, they're going to kind of narrow that footprint or change the footprint in such a way where there will be land open west of Central Avenue there will be enough space to put a new arena there. And then the third location that they kind of, say is a distant third is a casino parking lot that's just north of the Hard Rock Casino. So there's three potential sites. They've, of course, ruled out Heritage Bank Arena. There's a factual dispute there over whether the arena whether a new arena would fit there. And Nederlander's position, as we know, is that they believe it would.
Yeah. Well, we have, our producer found the direct quote from the CET CEO, and she said, most importantly, we do not wish to move our location. The proximity of CET to our surrounding neighborhoods is important to the work we do. Let's talk to you, Ray Nederlander. You've been working in this, the current location for a long time now. It's now Heritage Bank Center. And you argue that that current riverfront location would be the best place for a new arena. Walk us through that argument.
Sure. The entire riverfront development that the county and the city have put together, they spent billions of dollars down there. And it has all the roads leading to that spot to be able to deliver, you know, tens of thousands of people there within hour and a half. That doesn't exist anyplace else in any of these other locations yet. There's current parking that's been developed all across the riverfront, 7,000-8,000 spaces that service everything. All the roads lead there. All the utilities are in place. The only real challenge, if you call it a challenge, is to build it on the space you have to go up over top of Pete Rose Way and Mehring Way. There are already platforms that kind of cover portions of that already. It's not that difficult from a construction standpoint to do, as I understand it. I'm not a contractor, but I have talked to Turner and a number of other construction companies. It doesn't add that much cost. We've gotten cost estimates done on a new facility, 18,000 to 19,000 seats on that location. It would give us enough space to be able to do it, and it would be in the neighborhood of $600 million.
What do you make of the notion that the study and the chamber, the folks that sponsored it, say that, you know, well, we couldn't really fit a modern arena, like that would be smaller than we wanted to do. Does that make any sense to you? What is your reaction to that?
Well, they're making their comment based on the actual land footprint and not the space that goes out over top of Pete Rose Way and Mehring Way. In that lower level, it's only about 4 acres or so, and yeah, that's tight. As we know currently, we've got the arena on that space currently, and it's tight. We still get 17,000 people in the facility for a concert event, but we don't have the space to do extra premium event issues.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to be able to expand out over Pete Rose Way and Mehring Way, it allows us to capture that space and be able to utilize it.
We're talking about a proposal to build a new arena in downtown Cincinnati. What do you think? Does our region need a new arena? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. And we have already gotten several emails. We got a lengthy email from Barbara. It reads in part, "These new developments also come with infrastructure costs paid for by the public, such as street repair and maintenance. My community and I are involved in a once in a 20 or maybe even 30 year project to repave a major route through our neighborhood. The city can't afford to do what really needs to be done to make this road safe and comfortable for pedestrians. Meanwhile, we want another arena, potentially added to the growing complex on Central Parkway, which, by the way, is getting a multi-million dollar makeover for a portion of that roadway running by FC Cincinnati Stadium. I'm not against the new arena, especially if the powers that be come up with an ongoing maintenance plan that doesn't add anything to the city's backlog." We also got an email from Nicholas. Nicholas writes, "Having a new arena would bring concerts and events to the city. Look at how much economic impact Taylor Swift had when she came to Cincinnati for her concerts. I believe she was playing in Paycor Stadium, right?
Three times the size of an arena, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. Became Taycor Stadium for a brief time in our city's history, I believe. We did that question from Barbara is clearly a question for elected leaders. We did invite some elected leaders, and they were not able to be on the program today. They either declined or had scheduling conflicts. And then we got this email from Steve in Oakley. "I think the most basic question is, should public funding for a new arena be used at all? In the not too distant past and present, with new venues found in the form of a football and baseball stadium, everyone makes money in the deal except for the people who pay for it, the taxpayers. It should be noted that Cincinnati Gardens opened in 1949 and was privately held during its entire service life. The Heritage Bank Center is privately owned. No reason history can't repeat itself." Ray, is that something you've heard? Hey, why don't you build your own new arena?
Oh, absolutely. it's just when those arenas were built, Heritage Bank Center was built in 1975, and I think the overall cost for everything was about $15 million. And if we could go back to those days, I think they would be privately funded. From a financial standpoint, they're just not self-sufficient to be able to pay for that debt service. So they're typically public-private partnerships. We've talked to the city and the county, and we're happy to go down those roads and help support it. You gotta get a return on your money if you're private.
Sure.
I'm curious, like, the city and the county, they presume the new arena will have the Cyclones, which Nederlander also owns. I mean, if they really push you aside and say, no, we're not going to put it down there. I mean, are you willing to move the Cyclones to the new arena? Is that a presumptuous thing on their part, or is that something that?
I'd like to work with the city and the county on any location. I don't believe that the city needs to. It's a difficult process. It would be a difficult process for the new facility to have a competitor in the marketplace. I'm not looking to create a battle, but there's a win-win for everybody, I think. The difficulty on moving it off of the riverfront, not only with all the infrastructure that's there, I mean, we put 600,000 people through the facility now. With a new one, we'd probably be closer to 800 to 1 million people. And all of that drives traffic to the riverfront. The banks, has seen some struggles on occasion, and still. And to take that kind of traffic off of that location, I think would be pretty devastating for a lot of the businesses that are down there.
You do have a little leverage, though, right?
I suppose you could call it leverage. I mean, we're just looking to do the right thing.
Yeah. We do have a caller on the line. Let's get to Jenny. Hey, Jenny, thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
It's a comment, and that is, as someone who attends events at Music Hall and Memorial Hall and Shakespeare, the FC Cincinnati Stadium has already added to congestion, difficulty with getting downtown for events, and even changes in the scheduling of some events. And to put a new stadium or even a parking lot for a new stadium directly across from what I think of as really iconic locations in Cincinnati would be a real travesty, as well as an inconvenience.
Well, thanks for that comment, Jenny. We sure appreciate it. There is a whole lot going on in this neck of the woods. As somebody who's sitting in the WCET building right now knows, Chris, has that come up as a talking point that, gosh, there's so much right here already?
Yeah, it has. I mean, they recognize there's already a parking problem here, especially when when the theater and the music hall companies have events at the same time or roughly overlapping with FC Cincinnati. They realize they have an issue here and that is something that would have to really be thought about and try to come up with solutions. I suspect that there's no situation in which you're just going to be able to pull off I-75 and pull into your parking space and walk right across the street to either FC Cincinnati or the Music Hall. Like, this is going to be a congested area, forever now, given the presence of that. And then adding arena, would increase that congestion, I think. I don't think there's any illusion about that. And so that's kind of one of the strikes against this site in the study, even. It's acknowledged. But the counter argument apparently is that, this is a vibrant place. We've invested so much in Over the Rhine, and this would be a boost to small businesses here in the same way that leaving the arena and Heritage Bank Center in that site would also help the banks, because there are clearly dozens of events every year and where people are passing through or parking and walking over there. And so they, walking by those businesses there as well.
Yeah. We do have Ben on the line. We're going to ask his question because we want to move on to the big money parts of this. But his question is basically, can you talk about comparable cities that have as many arenas? And I guess Ben's talking about, we do have Paycor Stadium, which can have mega concerts like Taylor Swift. We have Great American Ballpark, which hosts other events sometimes. We have Heritage Bank Center, which, you all just had Billie Eilish. She's not small potatoes. No. So she's a pretty big name
not
right
as
now.
As big as you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are the comparable cities that, you know, that kind of show we need this new arena? I don't know if either of you have thoughts on that.
I mean, is he asking why do we have so many arenas, or can we support an arena? Is the question, can we support an arena without having a major league NHL or whatever in there? Because I think there are, Kansas City is the one, of course, that comes to mind. They have a, they have an arena without an NCAA basketball tenant, and they also have one without NHL or NBA. And so that is kind of the most, you know, that's the ideal situation, I think, in the people who have kind of come up with this, is that we can support an arena without those items, and it will be operationally not, a subsidy won't be needed. You'll need to obviously subsidize it to build it, but that's kind of, I think, the most comparable one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's correct. Yeah, we've looked at a number of markets. Kansas City is probably the closest. I mean, Louisville has the university attached to it, but we've done lots of operational studies. We've operated the arena downtown for 20 some years now. We know that it's self-sufficient once it gets built.
Right.
It's not that you're going to have to subsidize it every year like a lot of the things that happen that get built publicly have to be subsidized. This supports itself.
Mm-hmm.
And actually would throw off revenue to the city and county to be able to utilize for other projects.
Okay. Thanks so much for that question, Ben. We sure appreciate it. We also have Jack on the line. Hey, Jack. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hi. Thank you so much. I actually have a comment. I'm just thinking, if the amount of taxpayer funds proposed will be used for a new arena, is there any hope whatsoever of the percentage of those profits coming back to the people that helped fund it?
Interesting question. Thanks. And let's take a minute to back up and talk about the total price tag for this, because I think, Chris, am I wrong? Is it as high as $800 million that a new arena could cost?
Yeah, up to $800 million. Yeah.
Okay. And what's the taxpayer funding? Again, this is to build it. That's a lot of money, but it's to build it. It's not ongoing subsidy that's being discussed. What is the hunk that taxpayers or the public could be on the hook for?
Conceptually, they're projecting 70% taxpayer funded, with 30% coming from the private sector. Could come from, you know, from Nederlander. It could come from someone else. Or in likely a variety of sources. The 70% taxpayer contribution, though, they have a number of ideas, five or six. They range from new taxes, like a new sin tax on liquor and cigarettes, to taking a portion of the sales tax that we already pay for stadiums and moving that to an arena. Another discussed one is a tax on Uber and Lyft, or I'm sorry, they'll probably call that a fee. Uber
ride
and Lyft
share
rides,
fee,
you know,
yeah.
Taxes and
yeah.
fees. And so there's, and then what they call a super tax increment financing district, where you take all of the tax revenue generated, not only the property taxes that would be paid, but also the sales and income taxes, and then you put that back into funding the bonds. We don't really have numbers for each of these yet on what they could raise. I suspect super TIF would be the ideal one to start with, just because that's money that isn't coming from the general public, and then you would build on it from there. I suspect that's not going to be enough on its own, but you know, who knows? That needs to be fleshed out.
Well, and Chris, I'm sure you've read this report in a lot more detail than I have, but I don't recall anything that said, hey, if the taxpayers kick in 70%, taxpayers will get some of the profits. I mean, the profits, it sounds like you're saying, Ray, will be needed to operate this facility year after year, right?
There should be enough to operate the facility year after year, the actual annual operating costs. But there should be dollars that get kicked out, but typically those dollars are going to go back towards funding some of the bonds, I would imagine. Those are, you know, the private piece, all the money that goes in, they get their cash, but then there's going to, whatever cash is left over would have to go towards, you know, retiring the bonds, I would mm-hmm. believe.
Thanks for that question, Jack. We sure appreciate it. You know, you mentioned, Chris, that one of the suggestions is sales tax revenue, which I'm sure gives people you know, migraines just thinking about it, because there's this sales tax that was passed in 1996 to pay for new homes for the Reds and the Bengals. It's been controversial from the get-go. There's a big renegotiation happening with the Bengals lease and the Hamilton County commissioners right now. Is there a lot of leeway in that sales tax revenue to help fund something else?
Well, we don't know. I mean, the commissioners have kind of fired a warning shot about that. Like, don't assume that, you know, we're going to pay for anything, really. They're willing to continue the conversation. I mean, I think Niederlander had that idea 10 years ago or whatever when you unveiled your, potential refresh of Heritage Bank all those years ago. I mean, it's long been on the table as a discussion point. Really, what they need to do is figure out how much more they can bond out, you know, how much more they can borrow against that revenue source, I should say. And but we don't know, you're right, how much the Bengals are going to get, how much the Reds are going to get, you know, and what might or may not be left over. And, you know, out of Cleveland, we know, for example, that the state is looking at paying for a big chunk of the Cleveland Browns Stadium. And you can bet that local leaders here will be asking for that same consideration, as the state has typically done in the past, picked up major chunks of costs for these big projects. They've always attempted to treat Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati the same way. And I can guarantee you that our county commissioners and state lawmakers will be asking for the same treatment here as in Cleveland. And last time we did the, you know, in 1996, the state did not really pay for very much of that project of the Reds and Bengals Stadium. So there may be more money available in that sales tax than we know. But all of it is fluid. All of it is, you know, is up in the air, I think.
There was also talk about increasing the sales tax, which sounds like, you know, a bit of a lead balloon. I'm not sure that anybody's
dead on arrival.
Yeah. But if that were to come up, in the unlikely event that it would taxpayers have a say in that? Is that something the county commissioners could just make happen?
If we could get Tom Brinkman and Chris Finney on the phone, you know, just to tell us whether they would gather signatures against that, I would not bet against, or anyone else. I think that, you know, remember, the commissioners can impose a sales tax. Voters can gather signatures and go to a referendum, and I would place a fair bet that would happen, and that we would have a vote on that. You know, a new sales tax for a third building, I think, is very difficult, especially since that building is not Union Terminal, which we did do a sales tax for. It was temporary.
Music Hall got a little of that too, I think. Didn't it?
They did not. They cut Music Hall out of it. Remember?
Right. That's right. Yes.
The county said we'll pay for one, but not the other.
Yeah.
And they've figured out a way to pay for Music Hall. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. You've both done a great job, and we got a lot more. We might have to come back in the new year and re-tackle this.
I think we'll be talking about it in the
new
year.
Yes, I think so. I don't think this is going to get resolved in the next couple weeks. I've been talking with Niederlander Company Chief Operating Officer Ray Harris and Cincinnati Business Courier staff writer and columnist Chris Wetterich. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Up next, we hear holiday travel tips from the one and only Rick Steves. This is Cincinnati Edition.